The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
Welcome to Infrastructure Report. Our guest is Rahul Modi. Mr. Modi has 21 years of investment banking experience and is a managing director at Ambit Corporate Finance, where he leads the firm's infrastructure practice comprising power, utilities, energy, transport, urban infrastructure, and telecom. He joins us by phone from Mumbai, India. Rahul Modi, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for the introduction.
You bet. Now, let's talk about India's infrastructure needs. There's so much talk about how much India needs in the way of infrastructure. If you could describe India's infrastructure needs, the type of infrastructure it needs most, and the cost of bringing this huge country, the world's biggest democracy, more than a billion people, and the world's biggest democracy, and one of the world's largest land masses, up to modern standards. What is India facing?
Sure, Mike. Look, it's humongous. A lot has been done over the last 10 to 15 years, Mike, but still a lot needs to be done for the Indian infrastructure to be comparable and competitive with OECD standards. There are various estimates, but I think most agree that over the next 5 years, Indian infrastructure will need investments of over $1 trillion. And I think this is spread, I would say, evenly across different infrastructure sectors. So it's for roads, rail, metro in urban areas, ports, airports, power transmission, renewable power, and telecom infrastructure. So I think it's frankly all sectors, infrastructure sectors you can think of.
So what has India President Narendra Modi proposed in the way of infrastructure spending, and what are the plan's priorities?
Sure. Look, I think Prime Minister Modi and generally the government, I think they fully get it that the infrastructure investments are absolutely key to India achieving, you know, high single-digit GDP growth, which the government aspires to achieve. So I think they have been focusing quite significantly on infrastructure. So, for example, in the current year's budget, the government set aside $60 billion for infrastructure. That is an increase of 80% over last year. So it was a huge increase. I think the focus, again, like as I said in, previously, it's spread well across different subsectors. But I think I would say roads, rail, and power are probably the top three sectors which is getting the most government funding. I think it's also noteworthy to mention that India became signatory to the Paris Treaty earlier this year, and what that means is that India now has a binding carbon reduction target, and as part of that, India needs to achieve 40% of its power generation from renewable sources by 2032. So that's going to be obviously a huge jump. I think Indian renewable capacity is currently roughly 50 gigawatts. And by 2030, to achieve the 40% target, it'll have to grow to 300 gigawatts. So obviously that's going to be a huge increase. And the government is focusing also a lot on renewable sector.
What about private investors? Will private investors have a role to play?
Absolutely. Look, I mean, this scale of investments, $1 trillion every 5 years for next 2 to 3 decades, cannot be and will not be funded by the government alone, given the other, you know, priorities the government has. So I think estimates are that roughly 50% of this will have to come from the private sector. So Indian PPP, private public-private partnership program, has been quite active. It started in earnest around 15 years ago, and I would say it's probably one of the largest such programs currently globally. And I think that will continue. And as I said, roughly 50% of these investments will have to come from the private sector.
Let's talk about private investment opportunities. What form will they take? Will Western pension funds and such and sovereign wealth funds from around the world have access to some of these opportunities? Can you elaborate a little bit, Rahul, on how private interest can play?
Absolutely. So when I said 50% of this investment needs to come from private sector, a significant portion of that will have to come from foreign investments. India is a sort of young and sort of growing economy. So the Indian private sector is unlikely to be able to fund the whole of 50%. So as I said, I think a lot will have to come from foreign investments. I think there are couple of ways this can be these investments can be accessed by foreign investors. So there are sort of private M&A deals where the assets and the platforms are available, so for sort of the full control sale or 100% sale. So if those who want control, those investors can buy a majority or 100%. Also there are transactions where a significant minority with appropriate corporate governance rights is available. So again, those who do not want the control but just want to play in the Indian infrastructure sector can also acquire minority stakes. Also, I think there is another structure which is available in India, which is probably better known in the Western world, is the yield companies or the trust structure. In India, it's called Infrastructure Investment Trusts, or in short, InvITs, in which you can have a private InvIT, in which a number of investors can participate in operational infrastructure assets, and even the family offices and some of the high net worth individuals also can participate. So there are various ways, and frankly, given the need for capital, the sellers are quite flexible in terms of structuring the deals. So pretty much all types of deals are possible. To give you an example, in India, last three years, probably equity of roughly $8 billion has come from overseas, and that's come from the strategic investors, such as, take example, Enel of Italy, or Abertis of Spain, or some of the other European utilities, or financial investors, and there are all types of financial investors. So you have the asset managers such as Brookfield and Macquarie and I2, you have the pension funds and sovereign wealth funds such as ADIA of UAE or CPPIB of Canada, and you have the development financial institutions like IFC or ADB also. So I think the Indian infrastructure sector has already attracted, a reasonable level of interest from overseas. But I think there are a lot more opportunities, a lot further can be done.
Are there any estimates as to how the Indian economy will benefit in terms of higher productivity, turning its economy into a bigger global player? Obviously, China's looking to be the centerpiece of Asia. And India, I think, has got some other ideas in mind. India obviously wants to be a player. It's not as advanced yet on the infrastructure side as China. But as this infrastructure comes into place, what's the expectations in terms of productivity and in terms of how quickly the Indian economy can grow, and maybe at what point it becomes neck and neck with China in terms of its global influence?
I think there are clearly a couple of few areas where there is this huge gains to be made by the Indian economy with the improvement in infrastructure. So I'll just give you a couple of examples. So logistics costs in India, that's 13% of the GDP. If you look at the world average, that's 8%. Even if India were to close the gap by a couple of percentages, that would mean savings of $50 billion. Oh, that's huge. Another example, in power sector, the transmission and distribution losses. The Indian T&D losses are 20% or more, where the most of the OECD world, or frankly, many of the BRICS economies also are less than 10%. So again, huge savings to be made. So I think what we'll see is with the improvement in the infrastructure, the gap between India and China and the sort of the rest of the world will close. I think it's difficult to say when that gap will, particularly with your question with China, when it will close. But I think there are significant improvements, benefits to be had by investing in infrastructure.
So let's talk about timeline again. I know that you talked about $1 trillion, and I think you said over the next couple of decades. Is that correct, or can you give us any more clarity in terms of the timeline? Also, I ask this because so often timelines are set, and they tend to be a little ambitious. I don't know whether that's the case here or not. What's your sense of that?
Sure. Look, I think India talks in terms of next 5 years. So I think the clear focus over the next 5 years is significant investments. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, the government is quite focused. It's making huge allocations. And the private sector is also quite active. So I think the next immediate priority is to achieve, the $1 trillion over next 5 years, that target. But as I mentioned, and as you also referred to, Mike, I think this will have to continue over next 2 to 3 decades for the Indian infrastructure to become comparable to the OECD standards or even the Chinese standards. And so I think what's very clear is that India will continue to supply infrastructure assets for investments for a long period of time.
So political question for you. During the Cold War, the Soviet Union and China didn't really get along that well, and the United States used to talk about playing the China card. In other words, cozying up to China a little bit to try to counterbalance the tensions with this old Soviet Union. There is perhaps the same sort of dynamic that could happen here, playing the India card. China is both a tremendous opportunity for the United States, but a lot of people also see it as a threat. India could very well be that counterbalance politically and economically if the United States was to do what it can to facilitate India's development. And I realize that this is not, we're talking about private investment here. The United States government certainly doesn't have the money to fund India's infrastructure. But nonetheless, my question really revolves around the idea of the United States trying to play a role in facilitating more private investment. A lot of times there's these trade delegations that come over and they try to open up more opportunities for American companies or investors or what have you. What do you think of that whole political dynamic and whether India might stand to benefit from that, being the counterbalance to China's ambitions?
I would say that's a factor, Mike, but that's not the only factor. So I think the United States relationship with India has been, over the last few years, has been very good, and that sort of continues in the last 3 years under the current sort of government. And the U.S. has been sort of very supportive of India's progress, including infrastructure. And there have been, a number of funds that have been raised for investments in Indian infrastructure, which has got some meaningful and significant LP money coming from the United States. So that's certainly a factor. But I think in terms of investments in infrastructure in India. It's sort of, I would say, quite well spread through the globe. You have a very large Canadian constituency investing in India. You have a few large Middle Eastern investors investing in India. Similarly, the Asian investors, European investors. So it's quite well spread. But certainly, I think that dynamic which you referred to certainly does help.